about to feed them to the sharks right now.
Get them hype right now.
Yeah. You know the ground is up. Yeah. Everybody that trains, you know the game.
Yeah.
So let's get it. Slap it up, bump it, and roll.
Hey.
Yeah, that's the way that it goes. Ain't no better way to better yourself in this game. You're feeling the growth.
That's
time on the mat. We put in the work. Believe it ain't easy, I know. But we train for the love of the game, the love of the art. Now slap it up, bump it, let's roll.
Let's roll.
Welcome to episode 12 Days Till Christmas of the BJJ Campaign Podcast. My name is Jeff Boone. I'm an A3, blue belt, one stripe.
This is Phil Kors, A2, white belt, four stripes. It's 12 days of Christmas.
It's 12 days till Christmas, Phil. It's December 13th.
All right, fair enough.
And it is the 12 days of Christmas as well.
All right. What do you get me?
You stay tuned, my friend. You stay tuned because we're going to talk about that in this podcast. So we are going to cover some gifts. But what I wanted to start out with, around the holiday time, there's a lot of winter promotions, ceremonies, whether it's this month, next month, or it was last month. And we want to talk about kind of how to deal with those promotions, right?
Yeah.
So, Phil, let's just take it as for example.
Yep.
Last promotions, right?
Right.
You got a stripe, I got a stripe.
Correct.
You could have got your blue belt last promotions.
Could have.
But didn't.
But didn't, right.
Take me through that. What'd you feel?
Not a ton, I guess, I'm not real into the promotions. I've always, somebody said it once and it made a lot of sense with me immediately that I'd rather be, maybe the best white belt than the worst blue belt. And that goes for any of them. I would never want to be, I feel real dumb, walking around with the belt that I'm not ready for or whatever. And, it's, one of the best things about jiu-jitsu is it's the proof is right there, right? Almost after almost every class we roll. And that kind of shows me and everybody else where I'm at, what I'm capable of, what I know, what I don't know.
You said almost every class? What classes don't we roll after?
I don't know. I'm just trying to relate to people.
Yeah, I guess some people don't roll after every class. That's not feeling out. That's...
Yeah, but it's always right there, right? It doesn't matter what you're wearing, right? That's means a lot of different things, I think, for a lot of different people, and everybody's got their own reasons for doing everything. Somebody who trains, once or twice a week because of family obligations they got to deal with, and work, and other things that are also extremely important, just like jiu-jitsu is, that's not the same as somebody who comes in and trains 5 days a week, like I like to do. So... Mm-hmm. They're going to be at a different place and a different point. And it's still really important that they get in and train what and when they can and get the most out of it. And I can see why the belts are good for, especially when we're visiting another school, you get an idea of, where they should be at and all that stuff. But to me personally, I just don't really care. John could make me wear the pink one every class, and I'd still be there. It is what it is,
Well, if you forget your belt, he will be. that's a really good point. And you have to have confidence in your professor, right? Which we do.
Right.
John Plyler, Fight to Win Denver. And, you see all these articles and stuff on Impersonator, and whenever I was promoted to blue belt, it meant a lot to me, right?
Yeah.
But not as much as that first stripe on my white belt.
You've said that, yeah.
And to that end, I don't know if, I am a believer in the belt system, but I'm not concerned with it.
Right.
That doesn't concern me. That's my professor's concern, because it's a reflection on him or her of what whenever you travel to other places, of what you represent, you know, whether you represent your school well. And I'm not talking about represent your school well, that you're trying to tap out other belts of your same color or anything like that. I'm talking about representing your school, being being kind, being courteous, being respectful, making sure that you're doing that. That has as much to do with the belt as your actual jiu-jitsu, maybe even more in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, you want to, like, you know, we got the opportunity to train with John Shell last week.
Yeah, phenomenal.
I don't care how the roles went. I'm happy that, you know, he was happy we were there, and we were happy to be there, and we're welcome back, right?
Yeah.
That's more important.
100% it's more important. John Shell, shout out to him. Get better soon. Double knee surgery.
That's tough.
Yeah, yesterday. And so I hope he gets well soon. I'm sure he'll be back.
I didn't notice that both of his knees were shot when he was rolling with me.
No.
So couldn't tell.
No.
Couldn't tell. He did very well.
No. So. Well, actually, he could probably roll with us right now after his knee surgery and still...
That's a good point.
...dominate, which is fine. I'm okay with that. But getting back to the promotions, you know, if you didn't get a stripe or you didn't get that belt, you know, take time to reflect back on it. What the wrong way to do that is to go up to your professor and say, hey, why didn't I get a stripe or a belt? Why? You know, the right way to do this is to reflect upon where you're at in your campaign and to maybe write down some goals. You know, I want to go back to that impersonator syndrome whenever you get promoted to new belt level. There's always going to be times where you're going to get tapped by a lower belt. You know, I see these articles on defending your belt.
Yeah.
Listen, it's not, for me, it's not about that, defending my belt. It's about whenever I'm rolling with someone, maybe of lesser rank than me, I'm going to try to be in worse positions to A, let them work, and to B, let me work defense out of a bad situation, right? I mean, we did it the other day in the positional, whenever you have my back and you sunk the choke in really deep, and I was like, I can get out of this. I wasn't getting out of it. Right. It was too deep. You have to go beyond those limits to know the limits.
Right, yeah.
Right? So you know, have confidence in your professor. If they promote you to blue belt, it's for a reason. Maybe it's not all of your jiu-jitsu. Maybe it's the way you handle, maybe it's the way that you take care of the new people whenever they come in. Maybe it's the way that you promote a positive atmosphere whenever you're training all the time. You know, there's a lot of things that go into belt promotions, and you just have to trust in your professor on that. And after that belt promotion or stripe promotion, I always try to reflect on what's next, right? What's next? What is my focus? Because we've said it before, but you have to train with a purpose, right? And like after I got my blue belt, I texted John, our professor, and said, hey, here's what I'm going to concentrate on at blue belt, and just to give you a list of items is
was heel hooks and leg locks. That was the whole list.
That was not the list. That was my fun list to concentrate on. Right, that was my personal fun list. But the real list that was on the real list, but I didn't send them that one. But my real list was fundamentals. I want to really, you know, go to those fundamentals classes, get all those details, because there's still stuff. I mean, we talked about it, and this might be a good transition and segue into our next bit of segment, and that is we talked about these concepts that you know, you pick up and you're like, how did I not know that?
Yeah. The other thing, going back to that same thing, that we talked about it after the last promotion, and my goal with jiu-jitsu is to get good at jiu-jitsu, you know?
It's
I don't have a goal of being a blue belt or a purple belt, right? That's not the idea. The goal is to be good. And even talking with John last week, he's talking about he can roll with somebody for a few minutes and he knows whether they're, you know, if they're a white belt, a purple belt, if they're a black belt, if they've been a black belt for a year, if they've been a black belt for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Like, there's no...
That was John Shell, by the way.
Yeah. And that was a really good point, I think. Not that I can tell, because most people just seem way better than me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of puts back in perspective, like, you know, I do it because it's fun, number one. But, you know, the goal is to get good at it. And they always say it takes care of itself. It is what it is, basically. It's
keep showing up.
Yeah, just focus on getting better. And that should be the main priority.
Yeah, no, I totally believe that, too. I totally believe that. So going back to that, you know, I said focus on the fundamentals. And my next thing was teaching. Teaching's important to me. I want to be active in that. Not that I want to make jiu-jitsu my living. I love jiu-jitsu. I don't necessarily want to make it my living. What I do want to do is I feel like the teaching gives you another level of detail in all of the techniques that we do.
Yeah, and a better understanding.
Yeah, because you have to think about it. And so that was another focus of mine. So, you know, if you didn't get that promotion, keep coming in. Keep working, right? I mean, keep having fun. Keep doing what you're doing and showing up. And you know what? If you want to do the extra things, you know, that will help shorten that learning curve, like taking notes, like on my BJJ notes, you can do that. I mean, it's something, but again, you don't have to. If you want this campaign, you know, to be very leisurely, it's your campaign.
Right.
It's not ours. We're choosing to do it a little bit differently because we do want to shorten that learning curve. So be happy with your promotion or your lack of promotion, because that if you don't get promoted to that next belt level, there's positives to that, right? I mean, you've got another few months at competing at white belt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair, because I think you're going to run through everybody at white belt in your next competition. But
we'll see. I mean, they train too.
Yeah, they do train too. But, you know, focus on the positives and the benefits that you're getting from training. Now, talking about that, let's talk about bad training days.
Yeah. We all have those, right?
Some more than others.
True. So, yeah, last week, I went in for the advanced class, which kind of typically focuses on a sweep or position or whatever, and a progression of that position. And we started in the closed guard, passing the arm across the center line and working a kind of flower, kind of pendulum type sweep. And just step one, passing the arm and like getting up and staying tight. And it's something I've done before, but man, my brain just like and body was not talking to each other. It wasn't happening the whole class. I mean, I was like 45 minutes of this one first part of a move, and I just like, it wasn't clicking, right? That I was working with Ryan, who's obviously very good. I know he's telling me what to do. I know he's telling me how to do it right. It's just not happening in my head.
Was it his favorite move?
It wasn't. It was one of them. But I mean, he was really good at it, and he's going through it, and he's going step, like he's doing the breaking it down, right? Into the first part, second part, third part. It's all very simple. Like, I totally understand it. And he's kind of looking at me like, and you almost feel bad, because it's like, this isn't your fault. This is my fault. I can't do it, right? Because he's like getting...
No, you do feel bad, yeah.
Because like, I'm like, I feel like, you know, he's thinking like, why can't I explain it to him, you know? And at the same time, I'm like, I just don't get it, you know? But it was pretty funny, because he's like going through it and he's like kind of trying to figure out what I don't get. And I'm just... I think I'm doing...
The answer was everything.
Yeah. I think I'm doing what you're telling me to do, but it's not working. So clearly something's off, you know? And he kind of looked at me at one point, and I'm like, it's a little frustrating, because, like, I feel like I understand everything you're saying, but I still can't do it, you know? So that used to be every class.
Yeah.
For a long time. Now it's, you know, it stands out because it's, you know, not every class.
It's the exception and not the rule. Yeah.
So it really stood out. But it's kind of funny to think about that. It's like, you know.
And ironic, I choose to believe that you blocked it out of your memory simply because that's how I swept you the last time that you said I would never sweep you in that manner.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See, exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think you're making it up.
Wish we had photo evidence. But yeah, and you know, what's the take home from that? What?
I don't really know. You know, like it stood out when it happened. I was laughing with Ryan during the class. I mean, kind of joking back and forth, and it's like, you know, I'm trying. I just can't make it happen. And it stood out. I thought about it afterwards. Rolled after class, and it didn't feel like I didn't know what I was doing at all. You know, I still had my basic idea. The rolling went pretty much like normal. I tried to do the stuff we went over in class, and it, like, worked on one person, and that was it. But, I mean, I don't know. It's not like a... wasn't like a big deal, but it did stand out, you know?
Yeah, and you sent me last night the link to that John Donaher video where he said, specifically in this moment, what you're talking about, he said, you know, break a movement down to its component parts.
Right.
Right. Understand each of those parts. And our minds aren't always prepared for those parts. So, you know, just like with any technique, until you understand that concept behind the technique and the fundamental movements that are involved in that technique, you're not going to get it. And when you do, and you wonder, how was I unable to do that before? So, and that was, he kind of took that. It was funny. You came in here today and you played the little clip of out of the book, The Talent Code.
Yeah.
It was almost word for word.
It was.
What John Donner, yeah. John Donner, very smart guy, obviously reads a lot of books, probably got this concept from The Talent Code and is proliferating that, which is a good thing. But yeah, I mean, just whenever you have those bad training days, man, a bad training day is still better than a no training day.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of goes back to the same, like, idea with the plateaus, where it's like, you know, you seem like you don't, you feel like you're not getting it, you feel like you're wasting time, but it's like you're, I mean, that's just not something that's going to come natural for whatever reason, and I'm going to have to, like, work through it and figure it out, but that's the process,
if that makes sense. No, I totally agree, and then what did you do the next day after you had a bad training day?
I went back to jiu-jitsu class, yeah. And tried some other stuff.
And it probably worked.
Some of it.
Yeah. Some of it not, yeah.
Yeah. But on the same rate as everything else.
Like, your chokes, they work. Your Kimura, it doesn't work.
It's very true.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah.
Just clarifying. It brings us into that whole other things. The concepts of certain movements, positions that whenever you see them, you're enlightened. You know, it's mind-blowing that you didn't know that concept. One of those concepts for me, and this was really early on, and it seems like such a insignificant, it's not insignificant, but it seems insignificant of the concept of grip breaking, whether it's in no-gi or whether it's in gi, to always break towards the thumb, break the grip towards the thumb, no matter what you're doing. It's self-defense, gi, no-gi. It applies everywhere.
Yeah.
Whenever you're doing it. So that was really one of mine that I got early on and was like, wow, this, I've got to see future concepts that kind of relate to this, but maybe are a little bit more intricate than this one is.
Yeah.
How about you, Philly?
Again, going back to that same thing we talked about last time with engaging the hips. It's like, now I've been, you know, we went over it in that class, but now I've had a chance to kind of do it a couple times. And such a big difference, you know, such a little thing that, you know, probably every time, I don't know what it is, class 3 or 4 or whatever, when they first start talking about the closed guard, right?
Sure.
That I'm sure every single time he says engage your hips, and I've just not ever, like you hear it, but you don't know what it means, or it doesn't stick, or whatever the case is. I'm sure I'll hear it every time from now on, but
for sure,
you know, it's made a big difference.
So just to clarify for the listeners, engage the hips whenever you're in the opponent's closed guard or your training partner's closed guard to posture up, and whenever you're leaning back and postured up, make sure that there's tension on their calves where they're connecting their legs.
Yeah, kind of just like thrusting your hips forward.
Yeah.
And it stresses the guard like immediately, which I've always noticed happens to me with people. Like there's some people I get in the guard and it's like there's instantly pressure.
Yeah.
You know, not like it's going to like snap immediately, but there's a huge difference from where I can comfortably keep my legs closed,
mm-hmm.
and that pressure. It is the same idea with like the side control, where you know you want to be chest to chest and kind of like in a T, in a cross side position. You know, keeping your weight not too far forward, not having your feet by the other person's feet. Yeah. You know, simple like stuff that I'm.
Who enlightened you to that?
I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember who. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was me. Probably, maybe 100 times.
Or I think more. You told me once.
100 times or more. Because every time you get in side control, it would immediately be a sweep. Because of that.
Yeah, well, you know, live and learn. But it goes back to the same thing that they're always saying, like Ryan and John and everybody else who's been doing it for so long, where it's like, you know, the little position stuff like that. And I guess what's so cool about jiu-jitsu too is they say it never stops. Like, you're always finding those things. And that's just the latest of, you know, mind-blowing thing that's super simple, you know, and I kind of hope it never stops, because it's really fun now to, you know, incorporate that, add it, you know. And I mean, Ryan was telling the story of being out there when he's testing for his black belt, and it's the pictures, there's like 50 or 60 black belts, brown belts, everybody's been training for a long time, and they're going over bridge and rolls, you know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's
day one stuff, and I'm sure all of them walked away like, can't believe I never knew that before, you know, or like one more little detail thing that kind of just blows your mind. So they say it never stops happening, and I'm looking forward to that. So.
I know, me too. It's one of the things that interests me with jiu-jitsu, for sure. You know, other things, other just simple things, like mount is the guard reversed, closed guard reversed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Mind-blowing concepts.
Self-defense stuff up against the wall. I remember asking, like, why can't you do the other one, you know? And then he pinned me up against the wall, and I was like, oh, that's why, you know, because you can't move and all that stuff, things like that.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Totally agree with that. So being that it's 12 days until Christmas, Phil, thought that it would be a good idea, and this was kind of inspired by AJ's video post yesterday.
Yep.
And shout out to AJ Klingerman. They're going out the world. So good luck.
Should be competing today when this comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Friday's her first match. So good luck to her. But, you know, Christmas gifts. I would assume that if you're listening to this podcast, other than my mom, who does listen, maybe this is for her, right? What she can get me for nice. Christmas, right?
Big elaborate plan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's some high level.
He came to me in June and said, can we start a podcast? Because I want to get a new gi for Christmas, and I know my mom will listen. So.
So true. So true. But what to get that person who does jiu-jitsu in your family for Christmas? So let's start out with maybe some stocking stuffers, right?
Yeah.
Everybody needs stocking stuffers. Those are always a pain to find. And, you know, don't get the traditional stocking stuffers. Don't fill it with candy. Jiu-jitsu people don't want candy.
Right.
Right? They want tape. They want finger tape. Right? It's helpful. Yeah. I don't use it myself, but I know some people do.
Yeah.
What else, Phil?
Use some like defense soap.
Boom. Put that right in the stocking.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, you can. Also, like, you know, you've seen those little squeezy grip trainers, you know, with the.
I haven't.
You've never seen those?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
That's incredible. They've got little springs on them. You can
train. Oh, those things? I thought you were talking about the other thing you were.
No. I'll talk about that.
Okay, yeah. I have seen those.
Yeah. Maybe get them some krill oil, right? Some supplements.
Yeah.
Some ginger, some turmeric. Those fill up a stocking very nicely.
Yeah.
Or.
On to the good stuff.
Maybe some Jocko Mulch.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a protein drink, right?
Yeah, it's like a powder with all the good stuff in it.
It's delicious.
But instead of vanilla, it's like peanut butter.
Yeah. And mint chocolate chip.
I don't like mint at all, but that's just me. I like the peanut butter was pretty good.
Yeah, not a fan of the mint chocolate chip. But that's his favorite color, favorite flavor. So
not on the last one that you're saying. The other one was better. Now he's on a peanut butter cake. Ooh, so
interesting. All right then. You know, there's other things. Look at OriginMaine.com, the Orangahang grip, right? It's another grip trainer that's like a gi. It's kind of partial gi that you utilize for grip training.
So this is what I didn't know what it was. Do you have one?
I do not have one.
What do you do? Just like hang
from it? You can get me one, Phil.
That's very subtle.
Yeah.
So, what is it?
What is it? It's so Orangahang. It simulates the gi. In other words, it has grips. You can have the lapel. You've got the sleeve grip. You know, you can hang off of it. It's designed to be on the wall where you could actually hang off of it in order to train your grip strength. We'll put a picture up for the folks in the audience. How about that?
Yeah, they can't see all your hand movements unless they're watching. Well, the video.
Unless they're watching. This and got that. What else?
Rash guards.
Yeah. Rash guards.
Rash guards are good. Funny jujitsu shirts like you're always wearing. Your Shroot one. That's your favorite one, I think.
It is my favorite one. Toro BJJ. Go to them. Go see Boomer at Toro BJJ and get some great jujitsu shirts. Or you can go to our website if you want a BJJ campaign podcast shirt. We now have them available, folks, in all sizes and one color.
That's right.
Yeah, navy blue.
That's the best color.
It is the best color.
Or a new gi.
New gi is always good.
Yeah. Or how many gis do you have?
I feel like you're gi shaming me right now.
I'm not gi shaming you. I'm just asking.
So, if I need to train 7 days a week, I've got one clean gi for each day without having to wash it. That answers your question.
Okay. And how many days in a row could you made it, you like limited yourself to a week. Is that the maximum you could go? Or do you have more?
Well, no, I just wash them. I just wash them. No, I've got seven gis, Phil. Okay. I've got seven gis.
That's not bad.
No. One for each day of the week. All right, listen, hopefully after Christmas I'll have more. My mother's listening to this. Bunny Boone, get out there and get some geese.
There we go.
Shout out to Mom. That is her name, by the way, if people are... Bunny? Yeah, that's her name. She's a wonderful woman. Don't want to forget this one. Instructional videos.
Yeah.
You can get those at BJJ Fanatics or... James's instructionals, James Klingerman, who we've had on the podcast, and AJ's defense instructionals at thefighthub.com.
Yeah. I definitely recommend all those.
Yeah. Or you could get your favorite friend or loved one a subscription to Flow Sports.
Shout out to Dustin.
Dustin.
Got us fixed up for tomorrow.
Yeah, so no-gi worlds are tomorrow or today when this podcast comes out. And I got on my Flow Sports app just to make sure that everything was working okay, and it wasn't. And Dustin took care of us, although he didn't really like my jokes.
No, he didn't think you were funny at all. Can't blame him. But you did try to get him back training jiu-jitsu because he said he only been to like 10 or 15 classes, so... maybe you set him on the right path here.
We'll see. Hopefully he's listening to the BJJ campaign podcast.
You did your best. So.
I did my best on it.
We'll see. Hopefully.
He was not enthused. It seemed like that was a Monday call, but it's a Thursday.
Yeah.
But he did take care of us, right? I mean, he fixed it. Boom, right away, fixed. Fixed, so shout out to
Dustin. And they called you back in like 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
It's pretty good.
No, I was very happy with that. Last thing, and man, maybe one of the favorites is get your training partner, get your friend, get your loved one a private lesson. Or if you choose, they're usually cheaper whenever you get four or five of them combined.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe four, get one free. You know, whether it's with your instructor, whether it's, you know, whoever. If you've got somebody that's really good in town that you want to see, go get them a private lesson with that person. And in that private lesson, have them train what they really like to train. Right?
Yeah, that's always what people are most excited about teaching, probably what they're best at teaching.
Yeah.
Definitely a good idea.
Agreed. So now we go on to, usually around this time of the year, Christmas time, your academies, they'll have, you know, a break over Christmas, you know, because people travel, you know, attendance is down, any of that stuff. How are you going to deal with training over the Christmas break, Phil? Because I think we're, when do we, the 21st?
I think next week is the last full week, I think he said.
So the 21st, we're going to be like...
I don't know the dates.
Yeah, I don't either.
But, you know, we'll figure it out. But, yeah, hopefully, there's always opportunities to train everywhere. You just keep your eyes open when you're spending time with your family and grandma comes in for the hug, just swimming. Swim right, get the underhook, you know, clinch.
When she goes in for the hug?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not let her get those double underhooks.
Nope. Just swim in. That opportunity is always there. A lot of us, you get to sleep in, you know, through the holidays and stuff, and then you kind of leg circle from out from under the blanket.
100%.
Shrimp out of bed and stand up in base, you know. Those opportunities are always there.
Always there.
So, you know, take advantage of those. And then, you know, other than that, open mat times, hopefully, you guys. I know I'll be bothering Jeff almost every day to see if he's going to open at all.
Not really Charlotte a bother.
Probably,
not really a bother.
Open once or twice, but yeah, other than that.
And also, you know, look, there's probably, with us in the greater Charlotte metropolitan area, there's a lot of really good jiu-jitsu, you know, we'll be down at Elevate training with them next week. Yeah. Caitlin Huggins and CJ Murdoch, they're going to be on the show. But, you know, take this opportunity. If you see an open mat, John Piper down in downtown Charlotte or Lucas Lepre, if you see an open mat at those places, it's an open mat.
Yeah.
That means anybody can come train. You know, take advantage of that.
Man, sometimes, like, those new people that don't know you at all kind of can give you just a new outside pointer just because, you know, they don't... You know, you train with the same people all the time and you kind of get used to what they do or whatever, and it's harder to have, like, a fresh perspective, I guess, on them and yourself with them. Again, I mean, that I can't talk about that enough, like, engaging the hips. He said that in like 15 seconds. Like, that was the first thing he noticed, you know? Where I've been moving around with you forever, and it's not something that crossed your mind to say.
No, you're right.
It's like that fresh perspective of somebody new. It's, you know, can't recommend that enough. Try and, you know, obviously, if you're training with different people nonstop, you kind of don't ever get a rhythm going or anything like that. But mix it up once in a while and get that new perspective for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree, you know. Whenever you get an opportunity to train jiu-jitsu, and obviously it's great to be at your own academy, but whenever you get that opportunity to go and train with others, to just see the community that's out there, to see the great people who are doing this all around, because jiu-jitsu's hard. It's fun, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And just to see their perspective and how they're training and you know, just being with like-minded people on the mat. It's nice to be able to forge those new relationships, especially at the holiday season. You know, if you're going in, I've said it before, if you're going in to see your family, you know, find a place to train, because you're going to be going in to see your family again and again and again. And if you take that opportunity, you be respectful, you know, you know, just little things, leave a good review, or help clean the mats and make sure to read the rules before you go in there. Maybe if you want to get up with them beforehand, give them a call, give them a message on Facebook. These are all ways to really make sure that you get the training in, and, you know, make it an excuse to train, not an excuse not to train, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the break is. And an excuse to train with others that you haven't trained with before, like you say, to get a fresh perspective on things. Feel like anything else before we start closing this thing out?
Nah, I'm just excited about what you're going to get me for Christmas.
I mean, there's a lot of good ideas out there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm excited to watch the Nogi stuff this weekend.
That's going to be super.
I was just talking with you a little bit about that before. Like, we watched it, one of the competitions last year. And
EBI.
And, like, being brand new to everything, I had no idea who anybody was, let alone what they were trying to do, because I was so new to it, you know, in general. So I'm a lot more excited now. Know some of the people, had heard the names before. You know, it's a little easier to get into it. Same with, like, any other sport. You kind of start fresh. You don't really know what's going on or who anybody is. So I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be very exciting. You know, maybe the way our weekend is spent, right? Watching that flow grappling, thank God. Another shout out to Dustin. Thank you, Dustin. yeah, and so I think, you know, like we said, we're going to have CJ Murdoch and Caitlin Huggins on next week. I'm going to train and elevate jiu-jitsu with them next week, and look forward to that. And I think we're becoming the BJJ couples podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing to have, right?
Yeah, that's cool. They're all cool, right?
They are cool, yeah. Yeah. So with that, you know, if you're looking for ways to support us, how do they do that, Phil?
Now we have an extremely active Instagram page.
Boom.
Yeah, there's like, we're tripled our photos from last week. So,
which we had no photos last week, so that's good.
So yeah, you can check that out, BJJ Campaign Podcast on Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, check out the website. I kind of play with the website, so any thoughts or ideas, anything you want us to talk about, your questions are always our questions as well. So if there's something you think of or notice, for sure, just shoot us a message or post it on any of the pages or whatever. Those would be the biggest ways.
Yeah, no, you've done a really nice job. You've done a really nice job with that, with the website. So, yeah, thank you for that. And also, you know, if you just want a cool T-shirt for Christmas, that BJJ Campaign Podcast T-shirt that Boomer and the folks at Toro BJJ delivered for us last week, that's something that you could get. And that helps support us. And like Phil said, just send us Facebook messages, whatever. If you want topics covered, that's the best way to do it.
Also, you guys all heard everybody cheering at the last one at the Toro Cup. I mean, we didn't really get into this much, but that was really fun. I've been to a few competitions, obviously, watched a couple, participated in a few. That one having back-to-back matches with all levels, kind of.
What, they have 27 matches?
I think it was 27. I mean, that, like, if you're interested in jiu-jitsu and you're anywhere near this area for one of these Toro Cups, I can't recommend getting out to one of those enough. I had a really good time. Like, that, I mean, we were there for, what, like 6 hours or something like that?
It flew by. I don't even know how long it was, but it was, you know, it was super exciting. And Boomer and the folks at Toro BJJ.
The other guy, I think Bagels was his name.
Yeah.
Just
Bagel, shout out to Bagels. He'll be at No Gi Worlds.
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Boomer did a great job hyping up the matches. He was Bagel's referee and was pretty hilarious sometimes.
Yeah. He's that hype man, too.
That picture of him with the guy throwing the other guy on his head in the background there. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Make the same face everybody else was making, but yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see that, we put that on an Instagram page, right? Did we put that on Instagram?
Not that picture. I could probably share it. I think that was on Facebook.
It was.
I'll see what I can figure out. But yeah, that was a cool picture of Vernon.
So yeah, Vernon with a reverse Sanagi, I believe is what he called it. I don't know those judo things, but but he put the guy on his head. And it was pretty. It was a spectacular.
I thought that was a saying, you know, when they say put him on his head, and then I saw the picture. I'm like, oh, he's actually on the top of his head. All right.
yeah, for sure. So anyway, we will have another podcast out before Christmas, but this was really our Christmas special, our 12 Days Till Christmas special.
Perfect.
So, hey, if you're not out there doing something to make yourself better, maybe it's jiu-jitsu.
Maybe it isn't. It should be.
Should be.
Yeah.
Then get out there and do it. And have fun while you're doing it. And thanks for listening.
I'm about to feed him to the sharks right now.
Get him hyped right now.
Yeah. You know the ground is on. Yeah. Everybody that trains, you know the game.
Yeah.
So let's get it. Slap it up, bump it, and roll.
Hey.
Yeah, that's the way that it goes. Right. Ain't no better way to better yourself in this game. You're feeling the growth.
That's
time on the mat. We put in the work. Believe it ain't easy, I know.
No.
But we train for the love of the game, the love of the art. Now slap it up, bump it, let's roll.
Let's roll.